Welcome back to the Hawkins Reports, a Stranger Things podcast by LSG Media. I'm your host, Dean.
I'm Jessica.
On this week's episode, we bring you Season 2, Chapter 7, The Lost Sister. Jessica, you texted me, and I don't know if you remember what you texted me, but you texted me to tell me that you were very mad at this episode. You had angry face emojis, and because you said, oh, did you watch it? Yeah, I did. And you had an angry face emoji, and you're very grouchy.
I think what I said was, remember how on the podcast
you
kept saying every episode is getting better and better?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, this one doesn't.
Yeah.
And then the angry face. The orange angry face.
It was the orange one.
That one is the one that matters.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a Donald Trump angry face.
It's like the angriest of the angry faces.
Right. For sure. We try not to, I don't like to influence each other's opinions if we watch them independently, which is something I try to do with all the hosts. I don't want somebody to be like, oh, have you seen Blade Runner 2049? It's great. We just say, have you seen it yet? And that's it. And then we get on the mic and it's largely a surprise.
Except I couldn't hold it in.
You couldn't hold it in?
No.
Yeah. So, dude. Let's dive right into it. Now, I watched it and I'm going to tell you, emotionally speaking, there was a part of me that felt like this was like just old school punk rocker, cool fight the man kind of shit that I liked. But when I really think about it, there's a couple of like moments that I enjoyed, but overall it's not great.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I can't think of a Stranger Things episode I like less than this one.
Me neither.
So, but that doesn't mean there's not plenty to talk about. So tell me what, I know that your major problem is its timing.
Yeah.
But outside of its timing, which I'm sure you're going to talk about, tell me some of the content you struggle with.
I think, and I get it, like Fight Against the Man, and this is like a standalone thing, is entertaining, sure. But like you said, the context of the show, the timing, that's a specific thing. But also in general, the worst part is the context and where this is placed in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And how Correct. It completely takes you out of the story when you end the last episode the way that you did.
Right.
And you spent a lot of time between when you watched episode 6 and episode 7. And I think that probably made it easier for you. I watched this episode pretty much as soon as I possibly could. And I was like, what the fuck? What am I watching?
Mm-hmm.
It was frustrating. I should have known it was coming because we didn't see 11 at all in episode 6. My problem overall is that it didn't feel the same as the other episodes of the show feel. And I understand that sometimes you have to do things like that. Sometimes you have those one-off different episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't like the people in the episode.
Okay.
I didn't like them.
Yep, you didn't like the characters.
Nope, I didn't at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even really like Holly, to be honest with you. I thought a lot of the time her behavior was not interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was too over the top. Even some of Eleven's actions seemed out of character somewhat for her until the end. Then I felt like she was more in character. And there was a lot of good Eleven stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't care about these people at all. And I'm still bothered by the fact that when we saw this scene of the Rainbow Room, and I said, oh, is that supposed to be the girl from the first episode? It doesn't make sense. Their ages aren't right. But sure enough, it is supposed to be the same girl. And all of a sudden, when they show them side by side, the aging look different to me.
Sure.
Like, I'm still bothered a little bit by that, but whatever.
It feels clunky, right?
It feels real clunky. It feels like they were like, oh, shit, we better set up for seasons 3 and 4 by letting you meet some other people and also seeing how the audience reacts to that. So let's have a whole 11-free episode. And, like, if anyone can carry an episode, it's Millie Bobby Brown. And don't get me wrong. She can. She's fantastic. But it just did not work with the rest of the show for me.
Got it. So there's some things that I liked about this week's episode. I thought it was kind of interesting to see what the showrunners could do with a new aesthetic, which was concrete, chain link fences, a city, different lighting, different colors. I thought I liked the way the episode looked. It felt like I'd imagine it would if the Duffer Brothers made a show like this. Like those interesting colors. I don't know. There was something about the palette and the way they shot it.
It was filmed well.
It looked cool to me. Like, I liked the way everything looked. But I think my main problem with this is that I also didn't really care about the main characters much either. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to say main characters, but the focal point of the characters. I think Callie's the best of all of the rest. Callie, whatever they want to say. She's the best of the group. The group.
The rest of the group is fucking awful. And I will argue that till the end of this episode. Yeah. Not one of them had any redeeming or interesting quality to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. Thunder,
like I do every day.
But there's not, I don't know if they're awful so much as they just don't matter because there's nothing to them. They are kind of paper thin. They're outcasts, right? They make that pretty clear. They're just a group of outcasts who are out there in the world doing their thing. So aesthetically, I liked looking at this episode. I thought it was pretty. But what we're doing here, here's what I don't like about this episode fundamentally. I don't like that they want us to believe that there is a history between Elle and this girl, and we've never seen this girl before. Like, everything this show has done has had connections, right?
Yeah.
Connections that they've already laid the groundwork for. Now what they're doing is they show this girl in the first episode, and then we get a couple of wacky flashbacks from Mom so we can bring this girl back into it.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like this might have been discovered in season one, that she knew this girl. And part of me feels like that would have just been a better plant. I mean, whatever. It's not a super big deal, but do you know what I mean by that? I feel like this outside world, this is very much to me, it's funny. It's almost like if Star Wars was less black and white, right? Because what I mean by that is Kali almost represents the Sith, the dark side of the Force.
Right.
Which is, no, you have to use your anger here. It's very much...
So Star Wars.
It's very much like Eleven is discovering her Jedi potential, mm-hmm. and she's not getting great counsel on somebody who's telling her to use her anger. Despite it feeling good in the short term, it's not going to do you well in the long term. And that's, you know, one of the things I got from this was, you know, Kali saying, oh, we're going to do what we're going to do. But then I thought to myself, like, any tale of this type of angst and anger, where does it end? It never really ends. What are they mm-hmm. going to go get normal jobs after this? I think they're just, the interesting part of the episode is this group of people deciding to do what they're going to do because they know they can never really fit in. And even though they claim it's for vengeance and justice, at the end of the day, it's just to fulfill whatever, you know, shit life they've carved out for themselves or what have you. You know what I mean?
Right, because you listen to Kali say in the episode, I found a family just like your policeman, but they didn't understand me. It's the idea of some people get so used to being angry, they want to continue to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is something a lot of people struggle with. Probably people, how old is this girl supposed to be?
I don't know.
18, 21? I probably was the same way. I probably would have gone and murdered people from a lab if I had the opportunity and dyed my hair purple. Mm-hmm. But you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you grow up and you let go of that shit.
Sometimes you just work at a grocery store instead.
Yeah, and that's what I did. That is what I did.
You don't live in a warehouse with a fucking punk band.
I mean, I never shot anybody or was in a punk band, but like I, you know, went to something corporate concerts and stuff. Okay, guys, and I like did the mosh pit.
But I don't know if I... So let's just think about the episode, and that's... We know that we've seen, one of the concerns we've had for the entire season is that Elle is going to, there's an issue here. She has a great power dynamic. She's very powerful. We've seen that Hopper's unable to control her. She just leaves, she storms, she gets on a bus, she goes and does her thing. No one can really stop Elle. She has great power at her fingertips. And then it becomes a question of, oh, how are you going to wield that power, right? This is so akin to the Jedi, right?
Right.
What are you going to do with this newfound power? Are you going to give in to your fear and your anger and use it to hurt and harm people that have wronged you? Which, on the one hand, I like the setup. I liked that we see that they're going to go after people that hurt them. But I also... The scene I liked the most was the fact that they were just going to rob a guy. I liked that. I liked that the one thing that the show did good this week is it didn't make us feel totally sympathetic for them at all. because of the robbery of the guy. He's got nothing to do with your life, and you're going to rob from him and smash him and, you know.
Oh, the guy in the
guy in
store.
The store. Yeah, yes. I like that we see them committing a crime against somebody who's not on their hit list.
Right, which shows you if they were trying to make these sympathetic characters for you, they didn't do it.
But maybe right. By design.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. You're right about that, though. So, yeah, it's definitely not a great episode. Do you think you would have liked it more if we had drop-ins on the others?
Yeah, and I think, and people were bringing that up in the chat, too. And this is the thing. Yes, I think if you had spread this out over two episodes and you had intercut this with the last episode, that we probably wouldn't... No, I think we still would have been hard on it. We would have said, oh my God, all this stuff is just taking things out of context, but you would have had all the good around it of the other stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so then we'd be complaining in a manner where it's like, oh my God, we go from this to this shit with Eleven. Like, who cares? Like, let's get back to our people. You know what I mean? And they did it in the way where I get why they did it this way. They were like, we're going to not show you Eleven at all. We're going to give you a ton of crazy action Hawkins. We're going to give you a major cliffhanger. And then we're going to give you just Eleven. This is the type of shit TV shows do when you have to wait a week for the next episode. This
sure.
is like some fucking Lost does. Like Lost ends on a cliffhanger and then you have the Nikki and Paolo episode. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, fuck, this episode
I think
sucks.
I know what you mean, but I mean, I get what you're saying.
I know, like my reference is going too far. But it's like, they're like, here's a cliffhanger and we're not ready to, you know, change things and make them better or give you a resolution because we need time. This strikes me as something The Walking Dead would do. There's a reference you can understand.
Sure.
You have a bunch of shit happen with characters you care. It's a cliffhanger. And all of a sudden it's like next episode is just some other fucking character the whole time.
Right.
Like, well, what happened to Rick? Is he dead? Did mm-hmm. someone kill him?
Yeah.
Of course not, because he's Rick. We can't kill main characters, but that's not the point.
I got
yes,
you.
Yes. Edwin in the chat agrees. Walking Dead move.
Right. Yep. I got you.
But even if it was interspersed, I think we would still probably complain about it, but we wouldn't be as mad because it wouldn't have been like, here's this cliffhanger and here's a whole episode about something I don't care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I agree with Terry Mitchell that I think part of this is testing to see what they're going to do in future seasons.
Mm, that's a great point.
And see how the reaction to this was going to be. I agree with that 100%. This episode is 100% a test episode for them trying to figure out what they're going to do with their next two seasons.
Sure, sure.
And the answer is, like Alex 33 says, we don't care.
It's funny because, you know, I think back to the opening incident of the first episode of this entire season, and it displayed this girl. And I was like, cool, a larger world. I was personally excited about it.
Yeah.
So I think you were a little bit too.
Sure. And then this happened and then I wasn't excited anymore.
Right. So it's too bad that it's definitely, yeah, it definitely feels like it's sort of trying hard.
It is.
It's right. It does get that feeling. Like it's kind of trying a little bit to make these people badasses and we're just supposed to pump our fists and be pumped that they're going to murder all these people. Which is funny because Stranger Things has never really asked us to blindly follow anything.
No.
And they're sort of asking us to blindly follow that this hit list is full of a bunch of bad people.
And that's why I can't get behind any mm-hmm. of this. And if they were trying to make Kali a sympathetic character to me, it didn't work.
Right.
It didn't. Like, this did not work. They're going and robbing people, scaring people, anything like that. But they're literally going and shooting all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, because you worked in a fucking lab where bad shit happened. Like,
right.
You've never in your life been around something that was, you know, questionable that you wouldn't have deserved, like, blame for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if somebody was complicit in this and knew what was going on or just worked in this building, they deserve to die because of it. Like that guy said, he's like, they made me do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So I kind of get what you're saying. Like you're saying that, I mean, yes and no. Like I don't care if somebody tells me to electrocute a kid. That's my last day on the job. That's like the Nuremberg defense. You're like, I was just following the orders. That doesn't really work for me. But if you're some clerk that works there and you're not exactly sure and you get executed for working at a place where you're not entirely sure what's going on, then... You know, but I don't know if I feel sympathy for a guy electrocuting kids.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. And I saw that scene with him and her in the thing and I get it. Because originally it's like, again, electroshock, whatever treatment. They were doing that in fucking the 2000s still. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? People actually thought that was a thing that fucking worked, which is disgusting. But you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I don't know. Like I knew somebody whose mother had that done. It was real weird. Anyways, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, stay on the mic.
Sorry.
So yeah, I don't know, but let's dive into this. Let's dive right in. I mean, it's all. We're gonna go balls deep here.
I just can't wait until this podcast is over so I can watch the next episode.
What a pro! Hear that, guys? That's why we get all the downloads.
Listen, we're a real popular show. Okay.
Yeah. So, flashes. We've seen this before, right? We see Eleven. She kept showing. This is important. So we get this stuff with Becky. She kept showing the girl in the Rainbow Room. She looked different than me. I think this is why Mama wanted to talk. I think she wants me to find her. So Becky breaks out some files. Her and Eleven go through them. They find an image of the girl, of course, Kali.
Of course.
Eleven dives into the there's a little astral walk, dreamscape, dream ride, whatever you want to call it, but can't find the girl. Later, Eleven lays in bed and looks at some photos. She recalls the little girl. We see her in going on an astral walk again, or at least to some place. She sees the girl grown up, and then Eleven hears Becky talking to someone on the phone. And just as we expected, Becky could not be trusted.
No, she can be trusted. She's calling Hopper.
No, she's not.
Are you sure?
100%. I think she's calling the lab. She says the following.
Okay.
I didn't know who else to call. He gave me this number in case he came looking for her. Jim Hopper and Joyce Byers. There is another girl and she is missing and I didn't know who else to call. And you are Florence? Question mark. This is the dialogue.
Yeah, isn't Florence the girl who works for Hopper? Isn't she the lady who works there? Isn't she saying because Hopper and Joyce went to go see her and they left the information.
So she calls. Oh, she did call Florence.
I thought she was calling the police station and Florence was that secretary, okay. But I don't know if that's correct.
Yeah, because she says Jim Hopper's name. So obviously she's not talking to Jim.
No, I knew she wasn't talking to Jim. I thought she was calling the police station. Jim Hopper, he came by here. Hold on. I have the scene up right now.
Go for it.
Hold on. Eleven's just walking around doing shit, you know. Shit, this is so annoying. Becky, I just didn't know who else to call. He gave me this number and he came here looking for her. I thought maybe he could help me. Jim Hopper, he came here with some woman named Joyce Byers.
Okay, so he is calling the police station.
Yeah, that's what I assume.
All right, cool. You're right. I'm wrong. I've read it wrong.
So probably if I look up Florence Stranger Things, it'll tell me that that's his
secretary.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's who it is. Yep.
Florence. Yep, she's the secretary of the Hawkins Police Department.
Cool. Okay, cool. So Becky's back in. We let Becky back in the club.
She's still in like a weird situation.
She's on a short leash with me. See how quickly I reacted?
Yeah. Oh, I know. And I actually, for once, who I am always not willing to give people a chance, knew at least that she was being a kind woman.
I fucked up, okay? You guys don't have to crucify me.
Did.
At least we caught it now instead of after the fact. Good catch.
That's true.
All right. So Eleven is on a bus. She's getting flashes of people on streets. We hear Bon Jovi's Runaway.
Yeah, the music is pretty good in this episode, at least.
It always is. Eleven walks the streets of the city. And I kind of like this stuff. Like this I like, okay? I like seeing Eleven in a different place, in a different environment, dealing with other people that don't care about her.
Right.
She's just a person, right? She's just a person in the world. And it's cool to watch her navigate that world with her gifts.
And you just see her just look around too at times and just be amazed by the things around her. I like when she calls a guy mouth breather.
Yeah, he's a dick, by the way.
Yeah, but that it just makes me think of her hanging out with the kids and stuff. But it's true.
He is a mouth breather.
It's true. There's something about this scene, about her being in a different place where no one knows her or expects anything of her, where she's like a normal person, kind of, at first.
Mm.
At very first.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's cool. This is the stuff I like. She finds the warehouse. She kind of walks through that skid row and there's a crazy man saying they're all dead. I like seeing the city. I like I said, the visuals are cool. Eleven finds a bunch of people, right? The punk rockers, I call them, these outcasts as they refer to themselves.
I have called them a lot of not nice things. Punk rockers was not among the list. Whoops.
And she just says, hey, I'm looking for my sister. But this is the stuff, this is all kind of cool. Like, this isn't the bad stuff. This isn't bad. Eleven getting on a bus, going and looking for a girl, getting to the city, wandering around the city, finding this group of weird people, and just matter-of-factly walking up to them. Like, this is kind of neat.
Yeah.
It's from here, right shortly hereafter, where it starts to get a little wonky.
And this is the point where it's funny. The second, like, you see 11 on that bus, I'm like, we're going to have a solo 11 episode. And I knew what we were in for, like, at that point.
Did you find yourselves with each scene break hoping we were going to cut back?
No, I knew.
You knew.
I knew almost immediately that this was going to be solo 11.
I know, because the last episode, you son of a bitch.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You said only 11. Mad face.
Because in the last episode, there was no 11 at all.
Everybody loves 11, but.
I know. Again, who would have thought that we'd be saying, like, the worst episode of the season was the one that was all about 11. Oh, how times have changed with Steve Harrington in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Jenkfist makes a good point. The superhero saturation, that's what he hated most about the ep. And he's not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are fucking dick riding superheroes. They love it. They could watch a superhero movie every 6 months and be totally happy.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I wish I could be like that.
Some
I just can't.
People have superhero fatigue, but I'm going to see Thor on Saturday, so I guess I don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to see Justice League. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she says she's looking for a sister. This appears to be how a Crow film starts, right? This reminds me of, like, the guy pulls a knife on her, they kill her, she like comes back from the dead, paints her face, you know, comes back. 12-year-old
girl is here.
Comes back with a face painted, listening to the Nine Inch Nails, kills all these people. That'd be cool. I could watch that.
I don't want poor Eleven to be killed and to paint her face.
She comes back as the Crow?
But, I mean, she is going to get a makeover, so.
Yeah, apparently they're going to dress her up because it's fun and cute.
No, I liked her outfit change, actually.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's fun and cute.
No, but I felt you were being dismissive.
I was.
I know.
Anyway, we meet this guy, Axel.
He's the worst human being I've ever met.
He can suck all the dicks,
this guy. Hate everything about him. Yep. He's a piece of shit, and I literally hated him.
But he's
a
victim.
No, he's not.
He's just striking back at the society that forgot him.
Why is he a victim? What did they do to him?
He's the silent majority, Jessica.
No, he's not. He's not. He's gross. I hate him. And I only hate him more.
Did you want the cops to kill him?
Yes.
Were you rooting for the cops the whole episode?
I was.
That's when you know.
It's something I won't say often, but today I was on your side, Popos.
You're hoping the
Popos. It wasn't even Hopper.
You're hoping the Popos would light him up with a fucking tack team.
I'm sorry. Oh, I can't wait till we get to that scene at the end and I can talk about how I hate this guy more because, boy,
I don't know if you need to.
Bad.
I think people get it.
He is real bad.
But anyway, the group is concerned that Eleven knows about Callie. That makes sense because they know about Callie and they understand the inherent danger that this brings. Mm-hmm. She introduces herself as Jane. They look at each other's wrist. That's her name, by the way. They look at each other's wrist tattoos.
Yeah, that's her name.
They say sister. They hug.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. We have matching tattoos, so we're sisters now.
Yeah.
I might as well get a fucking number tattooed on my arm so I can go have some fucking sisters in the world and share my magical powers and be besties.
Maybe you should go through all of the torture and oppression first.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm
so let me
fighting
ask
against
you this,
the man.
Because even though I know you're not going to give me an honest answer because you're going to, this shtick you're doing. This fucking shtick you're running right now. You're going to run this back for the next 40 minutes.
You better believe
it. And cost us one stars. But
I can't wait. Unsubscribe, bitches.
So here's the shtick you're going to run. So imagine this. You grow up like she did. You sort of feel alone in the world always. That's pretty apparent. You get hidden in a cabin, locked away. You have powers. You don't think you're ever going to.
Your dad is Hopper.
You don't think you're ever going to have a normal life. You haven't had a normal life at all. Zero normal life. And then you finally meet somebody who knows exactly what you've been through because they've been through it too. You don't think that's a moment?
I guess.
Ah, a measured response.
But it's like, I wouldn't just be like, oh my God, my sister. You know, you guys aren't actually sisters. You just were created in a lab and have numbers. You're not biologically related.
Who cares? Okay? That doesn't mean anything.
I care.
Why?
Because I wanna.
Why?
I wanna.
Because you're running a shtick?
No, because I don't like it. I don't like it.
You're so funny. You want it. You cling to your hate like Callie does. You're like Kali, whatever the fuck. You cling to your hate so much that any crack in your hatred is a threat to you and you must stamp it out.
I think at this point in our podcasting career that our listeners should know that about me by now.
You're against mixed race families, Junkfist says. Oh, and you know what? You're right.
Junkfist.
You're a racist. That's what it is.
That is not true because I ship Lucas
That's
and Max.
That's not true because you have a black friend?
Yeah. No, because I ship Lucas and Max. That's a mixed race family when they grow up and get married and have babies.
Hey, man, they're both humans.
Ship them.
They're a human race, okay?
Okay, ship them.
All right, later they talk about Hopper. Kali tells Jane that Hopper is naive. We will always be monsters to them, she says. Kali calls her special, tells her about her own gift, which is illusion, which is really cool.
Yeah, real fucking cool. I wish I could do this shit.
That's badass.
It's really awesome. I'd doesn't much have rather have her power.
Doesn't have to be scary. Think of it as a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. Jane asks Kali if she is real, and then she pokes her face. It's a cute moment.
She feels whole now.
She feels whole now. It's a cute moment, right?
Sure, it's cute. I like when she makes a little butterfly to show out.
The armor.
No, that's not a crack in the armor. It's still stupid.
A glancing blow off the armor.
I really would like Callie's power, Kali, whatever. I'm going to call her Callie because it's easier. I like her power, though. Yeah. It's really cool. I like it more than Elle's power. I'm not reading the chat, and I feel like that's a problem.
They just said, no wonder why you like Billy so much.
Oh, Junk Fist, get out of here, Louis C.K. I've had enough of you today in this chat.
Carefully gonna pull his dick out.
Whether you I will like, not have that.
Whether you like it or not.
I will not have that, sir.
Junk Fist will be trending on Twitter like every other guy right now.
Hashtag Junk Fist.
Junk Fist exposes himself to mediocre podcasts.
1 star, unsubscribe.
Oh, shit. All right, continue. Well, I'll continue.
No, I just I like her power.
Running this
okay?
shit.
I like her power. Can I have that power? All the things that I would do, it would be so much fun.
Do you like her power, though?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay. Kali's a bit emotional. She says she feels whole, like you said. I think this is your home, she tells Jane, or Eleven. Later, the group teases Kali about her white sister. They sing Old MacDonald How to Farm.
Because she's wearing overalls. Get it? They're so funny. They're just so funny. I wish I could hang out with them every day.
Ooh, the hate flows. The God, hate flows hair. Through you. Strike down your father. You shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. All right. Kali wants to do one tomorrow. I guess that's like murder.
Yeah, she does. She wants to do a murder.
Do some murder.
Love some murder doing.
Well, they have their fucking bloodhound now, so they're going to use her powers. For murder.
Use her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The rest of the group is concerned. They don't kill their men and expect them to look the other way. If they find us, they will unleash hell. So yeah. Kali says she needs this. She's in pain. Again, Kali using some manipulation here.
So she's so manipulative of Eleven in like this situation. It's really unfortunate, which makes me dislike her more.
Right. Yeah.
She wants to kill somebody and she's using Eleven to manipulate them into.
But her murders are righteous. They're in the name of justice.
No.
No. Not falling for it?
No, 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 no.
Okay. Well,
no.
Let's carry on. We hear Hopper's words in the dream circle, whatever Eleven calls it.
Love this part.
Oh, you like the part?
Yeah, because Hopper was in it. It made me emotional, just like the first time I heard Hopper's message. I wrote 2 hearts and 2 sad faces at this point in my notes, if you were wondering. And that's what I did.
All right. So Eleven listens. She's grabbed and wakes up. Kali over her. It's time we meet our friends properly this time. Now we get this kind of goofy superhero movie.
Yeah.
This is Axel. His power is knives. Mm. This is Dottie. Her power is prescription drugs.
No shit.
This is Mick. Her power is afros.
Yeah.
And this is, what's
Funshine.
His name? Funshine. His power is she strong.
But kind-hearted, like the Hulk. Diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle.
Diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle.
It's the Suicide Squad.
That was the X-Men music, but that's okay.
No, they're the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, they're definitely more like that.
I hate
except not as hot as what's her name? Margot Robbie? Is that her name? I forget her name.
Oh, God, yeah.
Anyway, Kali calls them outcasts. We're dead, all of us. Now we help her. We were dead, sorry. They're not literally dead. We are all fighters here. Call themselves fighters.
Yeah, okay. They're actually fucking idiots who go and kill people.
More like bushwhacking cowards, but I'll take it. They have a hit list of people responsible for hurting them, straight up murdering them all. I'm a fighter. I've killed, Jane says. And by Jane, I mean Eleven.
I have a question.
Go.
So what do you think Kali did to make these people just kill for her? Are they just murderers who love to kill? And they're like, hey, this sounds like a fun thing to do. I've always wanted an excuse to murder a bunch of people and to say it's for a good reason. These people have no legitimate reason to want any of these people dead other than their relationship with Kali, whom they met after all of this happened.
I have a reason.
What, they're sad and they want to fucking just kill people?
Bad writing.
Thank you. That's a great reason.
It's not great.
It's terrible writing.
Yeah, because remember, Kali doesn't have the insight that Elle does to be able to like know what people think and feel and to target people that might want revenge. So I guess we're just supposed to believe that
she's
during her life on the street, she's manipulated this group into being a bunch of killers.
Yeah, it's insane to me.
Yeah. Kali's like Charles Manson, kind of.
She, oh my God. She mm-hmm. is. Is Charles Manson still alive?
I know.
I know you told me he was going to die, and I was
he's on
real
his deathbed,
sad.
Last I heard. You were sad?
Someone ask him.
I was like, wait a second.
I was sad when a serial killer, you know, dies. There's so many more interviews I could do.
Anyway, do these men deserve it? Kali asks about the people that Eleven killed.
Which is completely different than the people Kali killed, because let's remember this again. Eleven killed people to save herself in specific circumstances. She didn't go kill a father in cold blood watching Punky Brewster on his TV because one time 10 years ago he hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm. He electrocuted okay? people.
He hit somebody with an electrical wand, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he deserves to die yes. 15 years later.
Yes.
In cold blood.
Yes.
When he's had a good life and he watches Punky Brewster.
Yes, his children should have been put to the blade too to wipe his seed out forever. I am Magua from Last of Mohicans.
Listen, I've never watched that movie. So
gray hair, know before you die, I'll put your children under the blade.
Wait, I have gray hair? Is that what you're trying to say?
All right, so, and they still want to hurt you, but now we are making the first move, Kali says. So Kali tells Jane that she once pretended she didn't have pain. She now accepts it and it has allowed her to heal. That's interesting. I don't think the dark side works that way.
Nope, I think what that does is makes you even more bad and even worse and have more pain and kill more people. And soon you'll just be killing random people because there's nobody left to die.
Right, but I think we're supposed to understand that that's what they meant here. This isn't accidental writing. They want us to understand that Kali's path is not the right path.
Right, I hope so.
Right,
I
or at
hope
least
so.
Not the path right for 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she takes her out and she's going to have her lift an X-Wing out of the swamps of Dagobah.
Yep, she sure is, while she rides on her back in a little backpack.
Pull the train, you must.
Don't think about it, Zach.
Clear your mind.
Think about what the bad men did to you.
Yeah, no, this is more like Palpatine training.
Damn.
Use your anger to pull the train. Something like that. She can't until she gets mad, I guess.
I do
She
like
uses the dark side.
This.
Me too.
A lot, though.
Yeah, me too. It's great.
It's one of the better parts of this episode.
It's the best part of the episode, probably.
Just her flashes through all the things that's angered her, all the hurt she's been through.
Mm-hmm. And it does fuel her ability.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm sure she's going to use that for good at some point and not to just murder a bunch of bros.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just saying.
Yeah. All right. So I do like this. I like the anger. I like that. One of the things I appreciated was that Elle says that she felt good afterwards.
Mm-hmm,
I liked that. I think that's an interesting point of character development.
I think it makes sense because we've watched her react in anger and use her powers mm-hmm. before.
But we've always assumed she feels shitty afterwards.
That's true.
Right? Because she has a nosebleed and we see she seems like somebody's pulled a string out of her. But now she says she feels better. Like it's a release. And I like that.
Because she's using something to fuel it almost, I think, which is maybe not
she's
something.
She's blowing it off.
Right, because, you know, she explains, too. It's interesting because she explains that when she made the van move, it's because she was worried she had to save her friends. It's like this emotional thing. She mm-hmm. can't just do it.
Yeah.
She can't just be like, I'm going to do it. She has to draw from something emotional to really be able to, you know. And
now,
you can tell it's very cathartic for her.
Right.
When she screams and yep. it's...
Now, next time she needs to blow off steam, she can just murder a bunch of younglings.
Oh, my God. R.I.P. younglings.
Not really. We don't care about
R.I.P.
Or those dumb sand people.
You know what?
Hmm.
I also don't care about those people with Elle. And I just was watching this and noticed after she pulls a train, they're all like hiding in the background. They all start fucking cheering. It is like literally the stupidest thing I've ever
you
seen.
You know what
in my
reminded me of? Something
life.
Like The Craft. They're like, yes, our spell worked.
That's not.
And they jump up and down.
Whoa. Whoa.
Oh my God, our
Whoa.
Spell worked.
Excuse me.
The
sir.
Only reason Dean's watching this is because we're wearing fishnets.
Excuse me. You are incorrect about so many things involving The Craft. There was never God. Any jumping, never any cheering.
For sure, there was thigh highs and fishnets.
Yay,
though.
Our spell worked. The Craft is a classic cinematic masterpiece of 90s witchcraft.
I like how you
Where I went home and tried to become a witch.
At least I know. At least I know that your judgment is objective.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It calls us a piece of shit.
You know what?
But Dick rides the Craft.
I can't wait to watch that movie because I'm for sure doing it sometime soon. It was a classic.
It kind of reminded me of this. But anyway.
In the Craft. There is zero.
Oh, shit.
Now I'm insulted. And I will stick up for my 90s movies that made me try to be a witch, okay?
Who's that chick that was like in a couple movies? She looked like a bulldog.
Burzabulk?
Yeah, there was one of those chicks.
I don't know. Are you talking about somebody from The Craft?
Yeah, she's in like
short
like,
hair? Yeah. Burzabulk?
I guess.
Yeah, what about her?
Oh,
what about her? Are you shitting on Burzabulk?
All right, let's move on. How do you feel? Good. They show her the bad man, Ray. Is it Ray? Carol?
Yeah.
Is one of Ray, them? The Ray guy with Carol. The shifty eyes thing, that neurological tick?
He has a neurological
Isn't thing? He that guy?
I don't know.
From that movie?
What movie?
I don't know.
Oh, Identity? Isn't he in that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he the person at the end? The host of all
You know what I like about this part? I like the music. It's very Escape from New York, if you've seen that movie. It goes like this. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. It sounds just like it's out of Escape from New York, which is cool. He's a serial electrocutor, I wrote. So he serial electrocutes
kids.
For
sure deserves to be shot in front of his children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe not in front of them, but drag them out back. Electrocute them maybe a little bit.
Yeah, maybe, I guess. Or instead do your Darth Vader choke grip because this is Star Wars.
Apparently, yeah.
This is a new thing called
She's Star Wars. Wearing her fucking Jedi dark robes, her Sith robes.
She sure is.
So they go after him. They gear up. They get guns and shit. They put on makeup and get all dressed up. Jessica likes this part.
I do.
They do Dead End Justice here.
No, I do.
Yep.
I like that they give Elle a little 80s punk makeover. I like it because...
You like The Craft?
Yep, because I like The Craft, and I thought that this outfit looked real similar to something that someone would wear in The Craft. I thought she might do some witchcraft. I was on board with this. But I liked it because they were like, hey, let's make you like almost, you know, like I was walking around with this little curly mop and these overalls. And they're like, hey, you're with us now. Like, let's make you look cool, bitchin', like whatever words they use. But it's almost like this change, like this self-confidence boost.
Oh, for sure.
It's like... I'm grown up now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to show that there is a temptation here for her. Otherwise, it's sort of a moot point. If the episode is to have us reflect on how Elle could be if she's not careful, but how it's also tempting at the same time, then we need to also tempt her. We can't just dump her into a murder bucket. We have to show some of the things that she might like, that she might be swayed by. Right?
Right. I have to... Mindy Cakes in the chat. Just,
Mindy Cakes?
Yeah. Mindy Cakes. I don't even know. I think
Delish.
This is a newbie.
It's my favorite kind of cake.
Oh, my God. And she unsubscribes. She said, I didn't love this episode, but I didn't mind it. The thing I took away from this episode was that Kali is Eleven's dark mirror, which she would have easily become if she hadn't been found by Mike and learned about friends and loyalty and love.
Oh, there you
go. That's actually a great comment, and I like that a lot.
Now you're going to wipe your butt with it?
No, I'm not. And I still don't like this episode, but you know what?
She has a point.
That is a true point.
All right. So let's talk about the robbery. Kali makes the guy see the shit lake there.
Ugh, gross.
They steal a bunch of shit, and then he comes barreling out of the bathroom with a gun brandished. Kali says that these people are war criminals?
Yeah.
What sure is she does. Talking about?
I don't know if she's trying
that
to make
That was
her
the
case.
Most inexplicable line in this entire movie. They're war criminals that own this place?
I don't know.
That was totally inexplicable to me.
You know when sometimes like you think you're right and so then you keep saying shit even though it's not true to make yourself more right?
Yes.
That's what's happening.
It's called self-delusional.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Self-delusional. It's like you do something and then you blame it on somebody else and you're like, well, I did this thing wrong, but I did it because this other person did this. So it's really their fault because of this. And they're also a war criminal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Self-delusion. Bye.
Anyway, Jane smashes the guy and they take off. They get to this dude's house. They don masks and head into his place with this sort of Res Dogs walk.
Yeah.
This guy's fucked, by the way. Also, he's watching Punky Brewster, and he's a grown man that electrocutes children.
That's
so that
why.
Bothers me.
So the first time I watched it, I'm like, is this guy watching Punky Brewster? And I'm like, yeah, he is, because Lord knows I watched a lot of Punky Brewster back in the day. Okay. But then you think about it more, it's because he has kids. He has kids in the house, right? Like, doesn't this happen? I don't have kids, but I have friends who have kids. And there's been many a time where I've been at a friend's house where they have a kid and their kid is watching Sarah and Duck on TV. And next thing you know, the kid's in bed and you're drinking wine and you're still watching Sarah and Duck.
I get it.
So I get it.
Or Peppa Pig.
Yeah, or Peppa Pig.
That's solid.
Like any of those British shows that children watch about life lessons and I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's a good point. Anyway, Collie shows Ray the images of them as children. Do you remember us? They smash them up. You had a choice, Ray. Ray tells Jane that Brenner is alive.
Which we know he's not, so that's pretty dumb.
I can take you to him. He's just begging for his life. Jane, I wrote, murders a guy, or at least she's about to. Ray has kids. She can't do it. Collie is not impressed. Axel reports that there are two kids upstairs. Did he show your mother mercy? No, Collie tells her. Collie pulls a gun. Jane doesn't let Collie kill Ray. She knocks it away with her telekinesis, Kyle. Collie scolds Jane. If you want to show mercy, it is your choice, but don't take away mine or something like that.
Oh, so just let you be a fucking murderer? Sorry. I think that's called being an accessory to murder. I think 11 is all set with that shit, Collie.
You don't want to get me on fucking felony robbery where you murder a guy?
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
If that guy shoots one of them, they're all in for felony murder. So that's a real problem. I know all about that because all the podcasts I listen to.
For sure, don't home invade people then.
Don't home invade people.
So they scope out their spoils. Jane relaxes up in her room. Collie goes to see her. I was once just like you, but now I'm a runaway. But that's why I am hard on you. I see you in my past mistakes.
Oh, manipulative bullshit. Can't. Makes me so mad. Everything she does to her makes me so fucking angry.
What do you think, though? Do you think there's anything human about Collie? Because I feel like
I think a little,
we're a little bit painting her too, a little too single dimensional.
Yes, I think there is something human about her. And I think she was so happy to have found someone who is actually like her, truly like her.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't know how to deal with that emotionally. Instead, she's just manipulative to her to try and keep her there. Instead of doing things the right way or going about things in a normal manner, she manipulates, and uses 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's sad when she's gone. But the reason she's gone is because you fucked up.
You fucked up. Do you think it's possible that she grew up in a box and was electrocuted and prodded and probed and fucked with and given medication and forced to crush cans and blow up people? That maybe she's a little fucked up?
Yeah, and then she never made friends because she found a family and she just ran away from them. Unlike 11, who found friends, just like Mindy Cake said, your favorite kind of cake.
That's it's not yellow cake is. With chocolate frosting.
Oh, what a racist you are, yellow cake.
I like yellow cake.
What's wrong with chocolate cake?
With chocolate frosting.
Oof, I don't like chocolate frosting either, really. I like yellow on yellow.
You don't like Collie. You don't like chocolate frosting.
I like yellow on yellow.
Jesus, you don't even like the color black? What's the matter with you?
That's not true. Basically, every outfit I own is black. Why? Because I like the craft.
Douche.
Oh my God. See, you were like, Jessica, what are you going to talk about for 40 minutes? You're so negative on this episode. We're already at 50 minutes. We have plenty more to go. This has been fantastic.
We got a little bit more to go. But let me just say this. It's interesting to note that Elle and Collie both probably were subjected to the same treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And Elle turned out one way and Collie turned out another way. And you could say that that's probably as a result of the people around her.
Okay.
Which is too bad. Yeah, I wish Collie just fell in with bad people versus, oh, I had a regular home once.
Yeah, when she fell off, that pissed me off.
It sort of takes away her dynamic. Like, it'd be cool if maybe Collie could be rehabilitated and 11 could influence her. It would add like another layer to Collie that would be interesting.
Right.
Instead of saying, oh, Collie had what Elle had and just took off, it kind of puts you in a point where, well, so now what are we going to do with her?
Right. That's exactly the thing. When she was like, hey, that's the problem. They should have never told us that. Collie should have always been on her own. You know what I mean? And then it's a little bit easier to tell that story and make her a relatable character.
Right.
And now she might as well just date Billy, honestly, at this point.
They can listen to Bon Jovi. He can smoke. He can do curls. Well, she makes people see fucking spiders and robs them. What a team.
I think they'd be a really good couple.
I think I see a sequel to the fuck's that movie? God damn, I love it too. It's so good. Natural Born Killers.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey and Mallory Knox.
Yep.
This will be Billy and Callie Knox.
Sure will.
So yeah, I don't know. I think that would have just been interesting to know. But anyway, I was once like you, all that shit. They were kids. Does that excuse the man's sins? Kali asks. Kali recalls running away, recalls finding a family and a home, but they couldn't help me. So I lost them too. I ditched those squares so I could go on a murdering spree. I decided to play the part, to stop hiding, to use my gifts against those who hurt us. And I started the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants or whatever. You are faced with the same choice, or fight and face them again. Face who? Eleven asks. They talk about Brenner, and Brenner walks in.
Yeah, at first Dean was like, oh my God. I'm like, Dean, he's pretend. Relax.
She used her mind bullets on me.
Yeah, Dean believed it too. Dean believed in Brenner. It really works.
It does. Her mind bullets work.
It's just crazy to me that I actually think Kali is convinced that Brenner is alive, despite the fact that Eleven's like, no, he's definitely dead. But like, I really think that Kali actually thinks he's alive.
Based on what?
Based on Ray saying that. And like, she got that idea in her head, like that she's going to kill this guy, the one big bad to kill. You know what I mean? Mm. She has in her head that the big bad guy is still alive. I feel like this murder spree goes on forever. And there's no end because there is no killing Brenner because he's already gone.
This group for sure dies in the hail of gunfire with police.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And that's what's happening to this group. In fact, I thought, wouldn't it be wild if they just iced all these people in this episode? That would have made for a pretty impactful ending.
I wish they would have.
Like, when the SWAT team was closing in, there weren't a SWAT team, but when the cops were closing in, I was like, dude, they're going to get cut down. That'd be kind of wild.
Yeah, I thought they were going to get in trouble for sure.
But then she cast Cloak the Gathering. That's for all you fucking...
D&Ds.
All you fucking White Wolf nerds. She cast Cloak the Gathering and had everyone disappear.
There's no White Wolf nerds.
5-level obfuscate. All right. All this time you haven't looked for me. Why? Because you thought I was dead or you were afraid of what you'd find. You have to comfort your pain. Confront. You have a wound, a terrible wound. It festers. Do you know what that means? Festering, it means it rot. It will grow, spread, and eventually it will kill you. And then Kali says, you are free to leave and return to your policeman or stay and avenge your mother. Let us heal our wounds together. Let us rule the galaxy as father and son.
The chat is really mentioning that maybe Brenner's not dead because we didn't see his body. And the rule is typically must see body or they are not dead. Although I've always taken it for granted Brenner's dead and I've never felt like there's been anything to indicate that he's still alive.
It's true.
Until now. And I almost feel like if Brenner is, I don't know, alive now, it'll be a little bit cutesy for me, and I don't know if I like it.
Interesting.
I don't know if I want that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why are you so... Maybe you got to watch his supposed end again, and...
Maybe I do.
Yeah, I think you do.
Why? You think he's alive?
Yeah, for sure.
You do?
Yeah. So let's continue.
Maybe I do need to watch it again.
So Kali's doing this sort of false choice here, like, oh, you can leave. Run to your policeman. Right. And what have you. And that's when I wrote, where does it end for Kali, right? It never really ends, this type of lifestyle.
Yeah.
So outside, we see police moving in. They're about to raid the hideout. Eleven recalls her friends, Mike, Hopper, and the rest. She walks. She sees Hopper. She sees Mike trying to warn people about the trap. She's getting these visions. She's screaming for Mike. We hear the loud banging, which, of course, is the transition of the police entering the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that they banged. I mean, if this is...
I think they were busting the door open.
Oh, is that what they were doing?
With their battering ram.
I was going to say, you probably have a no-knock warrant.
That's what I assumed.
Definitely a no-knock warrant for this jobber.
Yeah, they killed a bunch of bros.
So Kali uses some Cloak the Gathering. It's tense. It's really cool. I like it. They pile outside and they get into a shootout. She makes this crazy illusion wall. This is some overt magic that's going to raise many questions. So this is the shit that's going to bring real heat down on Kali, right? There's subtle magic, which you'd call it coincidental, which, oh, that could happen. Your car could break down. Something could cave in. You could think a deer crosses the road. This kind of illusion is coincidental. But raising a wall up out of the street is bad news. That's going to draw bad attention on you.
Exactly.
And it cannot be explained. So anyway, Kali prompts Eleven to get into the van. She, of course, does not, despite the persuasion. Kali seems legitimately devastated, legitimately sad that she probably ultimately feels alone in the world again, despite having these empty, hollow vessels around her.
Yeah.
And then we see Eleven running away. I like that part. That's cool. That was cool, the way the car's kind of turning out, the slow motion, and in Eleven running. I thought that was neat. And yeah, So I like the kind of, it's kind of a cool final scene of her running away and sort of putting this to bed. This doesn't need to be multiple episode kind of shit. But, and then Jane gets on a bus and heads home. Before we talk about the bus scene with this really kind lady, do you want to talk about anything else on the end of this?
No, I just want to say that Brenner is alive because the Duffer brothers said he's alive. So, sorry about everything that I said. Colin Duncan in the chat just sent me an article saying that Brenner's alive.
Is that supposed to be non-spoiler?
I guess it's not spoilery as in like it happens in this season. They're saying for the future.
He's coming back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to assume nothing this season.
If it's public knowledge and people are talking about it, then fine.
Duncan said the Duffer brothers said that he's alive, and there are articles about it where they confirm that he's
probably
going to be alive.
People were asking them, "Is he dead?" And they're like, "No, we never showed him die."
Well, why was I so concerned that he was dead? God damn it!
Anyway, let's continue with the final scene. Jane gets on the bus. She heads home. The sweet lady sits next to her. I can't talk.
I like that sweet old lady. I called her a cute old lady.
She's awesome. You're awfully young to be traveling alone. She tries to talk to 11. I'm going to my friends. I'm going home.
And I smile. I wrote in my notes, she smiles, I smile.
You're such a dork.
And I said it was a good ending to an overall crappy episode.
Back to Indiana. Where the hell did she go? What city was she
Pittsburgh.
In? Pittsburgh. Oh, damn. She went that
right?
far,
Isn't
huh?
that where it was in the first episode?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I'm pretty sure that's how we opened.
Yep.
That was our open.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good catch.
I know. Sometimes I'm all right.
Good
Someone
on
in the
you.
Chat's going to tell me I'm wrong because they know everything better than me.
It's true. That's why we use the chat.
What we would do if we didn't have a chat other than make mistakes all the time.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Makes it more fun.
Oh, someone said Chicago. See, I was already wrong.
I thought it might have been Chicago too because Illinois is near Indiana.
Well, weren't they in Pittsburgh in the first episode, guys?
Yes.
Somebody? Oh, thank you, Junkfest, Louis C.K. They started out in Pittsburgh, but now they're in Chicago. They're just moving through the world.
I got you. Right, yeah, so they have to. They're drifters, man. They're like a fucking vampire band.
They're on a murder tour.
Yes.
Yes.
They for sure got to end in Florida.
Murder tour. Oh, 100% because all murders happen in Florida, basically.
Yeah.
Like serial killers galore. Okay? And people doing bath salts and eating people's faces. That's all Florida.
Yeah.
It's a real special place.
There's a fucking killer in Tampa right now. A serial killer shooting people. He's killed 4.
Yeah, but like shooting serial killers are like less interesting than like other serial killers. So
yeah, but they're more dangerous because they just walk up and blow you away.
See, and it's so funny because you say that, but like to me, I'm like, I'm bored by you and your gun serial killing.
Yeah, well, anyway.
I'd like it to be a little more interesting.
Anything else left to say about the lost sister? Final thoughts here?
I'm glad it's over.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, are we going to see Callie again?
Yep, we are.
Is she going to join our band of merry friends? Is she going to be Steve Harrington's new girlfriend?
I thought she was going to go for Billy.
Oh, she's definitely going to go for Billy. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, he might be the wrong shade for her, though.
Oh, no, he's not going to like her. Unless he, like, hate dates her. Like, he's like, I guess I'll date you. That's just so people stop calling me racist.
Hate date? I think that's called fucking sexual assault.
No, like you know, no.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But you're too embarrassed to say it. But anyway, we're going to wrap this fucker up. I am also glad that we got this little experiment. It was a cute little experiment. There's a couple of things. There's a couple of things to like in it. I'm going to give my final thoughts now since you're done. Okay. Is that okay with you?
I guess.
You want to interrupt me again? Go ahead. I'm going to make you see illusionary spiders.
I already saw spiders today. My dog ate it and made a baby cry.
This must be the guy who gave us a review that says it sounds like we are in an abusive relationship.
This is why.
This is what he doesn't understand, I think.
Sir, this is just love. Okay?
This is the fucking joking.
We're joking until Dean beats me when we're off the mics.
No, please. You wish.
So hard.
You fucking weirdo. You wish. You're into craft. You'd love that.
In the craft.
I don't know.
That's not what happens in the craft. Yeah. You have a lot of really inappropriate judgments about the craft, and I don't really appreciate it, sir. So you better get your shit together on that.
Well, whatever. All right. I got nothing else to say about this episode.
Oh, okay.
It's over. It was fun to talk about for sure. And I guess we're going to see you guys probably in the next few days with another recording. We only got a few episodes left.
Yay.
All right. Thanks to everybody who tuned up in chat. Make sure you visit us on the web at libertystreetgeek.net. That's libertystreetgeek.net. Listen, guys, we've got a bunch of podcasts. The Science Fiction Film Podcast, The Walking Dead Podcast, The X-Files Podcast. We have a fucking Game of Thrones podcast. And on December 7th, we're going to be launching a Battlestar Galactica Reimagined podcast. So if you have Hulu, that's a badass series. We're going to cover all four seasons of that, plus the miniseries that's dropping December 7th. So keep your eye out for it. It's going to be called Recommissioned, a Battlestar Galactica podcast. All right, guys, we're out of here. Have a good one.